again, you can kind of follow along. I'll be reading a little bit more than this. During the days before Passover, leavened items are removed from the home. This includes all breads and cakes that contain yeast. Preparation begins with a thorough cleaning, culminating in a ceremonial search for leaven called Bedekat Kametz. Let us also ready our hearts for the Passover Seder, the order of service. Tradition teaches us that in each generation we are to consider ourselves having been personally freed from Egypt. As we prepare for this experience of personal redemption, let us put far from us the leaven of sin from within our hearts. Haggadah means the telling. Passover is a story that has been told and retold for thousands of years. It is a story of miraculous transitions from slavery to freedom, from despair to hope, from darkness to light. Its greatness is the greatness of God. Its timelessness comes from the eternal truth of his involvement with his people. As God cared for the children of Israel in ancient times, he also cares for us who are his today. Upon the table is the Seder plate, holding the ceremonial items of the Passover. There are the bitter herbs. There is the roasted egg. There is a sweet apple mixture. And there is parsley and a bone, along with the salt water. Curious things, yet all part of the telling. So let us allow our senses to fully participate, taking in all the sights and smells. I can smell the horseradish. Tasting the ingredients, which we will do in the Lord's Supper, and listening to every word. Let us now hear, see, and feel the truth of God's love. One of the last earthly acts of the Messiah was the celebration of the Passover. Gathering his disciples in a small room in Jerusalem, he led them in a Seder, saying in Luke 22:15, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." He passed the foods among them. It was there in the context of the celebration that Jesus revealed to them the mystery of God's plan of redemption. He spoke to them of his body and his blood. He explained that he would have to die. Now, it was no coincidence that Messiah chose the Passover for the sitting that is now celebrated as communion or the Lord's Supper. In the story of the Passover lamb, Jesus could best communicate the course he would take over the confusing hours that were to follow. Here, as we participate together in this Passover Seder, may we experience once again God's great redemption. As we kindle the festival lights, we pray for the illumination of the Spirit of God to bring great personal meaning to this, our Passover celebration. Leanne, would you please come forward?
Lighting the candles. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has set us apart by his word, and in whose name we light the festival candles.
As light for the festival of redemption is kindled by the hand of a woman, we remember that our Redeemer, the light of the world, came into the world as the promised seed of a woman. Genesis 3:15. As the Lord spoke these words of encouragement to Moses, he revealed to his servant the plan by which he would redeem the children of Israel. Exodus 6:6-7. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. At Passover, we celebrate these promises of redemption and relationship by drinking from the cup four times. You can see the four cups. With each cup, we remember the union that God desires. They would lift the first cup together and bless the name of the Lord. This is the cup of sanctification. Now, will you all say the words that are printed on the bulletin?
Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
as he began his final Passover Seder, Jesus, the Messiah, shared a cup with his disciples and said to them, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And at that time, they would all drink from the first cup of the Passover. Then they would offer the bowl of water to one another and share in a hand-washing ceremony. And may we also reflect upon the gesture of humility and the lesson of commitment made by Jesus the Messiah, when on that night he laid aside his garments and girded himself with a towel, as we see in John 13. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Passover is a holiday that comes in the springtime, when the earth is becoming green with life. This vegetable called carpus or parsley represents life created and sustained by Almighty God. But life in Egypt for the children of Israel was a life of pain and suffering and tears, represented by this salt water. So during the Passover, they would take a sprig of parsley, dip it into the salt water, remembering that life is sometimes immersed in tears. Please read together. And then they would eat the parsley together. It's salty. At this time, a young child would come forward to ask what are called the four questions. Levi, would you come up, please?
This night is different from all other nights. On all other nights, we eat bread or matzah. On this night, why do we eat only matzah? On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. On this night, why do we only eat bitter herbs? On all other nights, we do not dip our vegetables even once. On this night, why do we dip them twice? On all other nights, we eat our meal sitting or reclining. On this night, why do we eat only reclining?
It is both a duty and a privilege to answer the four questions of Passover and to recite the mighty works of our faithful God. First, the matzah. On all other nights, we eat bread with leaven, but on Passover, we eat matzah or unleavened bread. As the children of Israel fled from Egypt, they did not have time for their dough to rise. Instead, the hot desert sun baked it flat. But even more than that, the scripture teaches us that leaven symbolizes sin. 1 Corinthians 5:7. "Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are." For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. During this season of Passover, we break our old habits of sin and selfishness and begin a fresh, new, and holy life. They have a plate of 3 matzah pieces, one on top of the other. This is the bread of affliction, the poor bread which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let all who are hungry come and eat. Let all who are in need share in the hope of Passover. 3 matzah were wrapped together for Passover. There are various explanations as to why this is, that they had 3 for this ceremony. The rabbis called these 3 a unity. Some consider it a unity of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Others explain it as a unity of worship, the priests, the Levites, and the people of Israel. But we who know the Messiah can see in this the unique tri-unity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 3 in 1. In the matzah, we can see a picture of Messiah. See how it is striped. There are stripes going up and down. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. And then we also see how the matzah is pierced. There are little holes throughout. Zechariah 12:10. I will pour out on the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. At this time, they would remove the middle piece of the matzah. And they would break it in half. Like so. Just as the middle piece of bread of affliction is broken, Messiah too was afflicted and broken. One half is now called the Afikamen, or the coming one. It is wrapped in a white cloth, just as Messiah's body was wrapped for burial. And at that time, it was a tradition of theirs to have a child come and or cover their eyes, and then the afikamen, that half of the matzah, would be hidden. So I will hide this away for now. Just as I have hidden the afikamen, so Messiah was placed in a tomb, hidden for a time. But just as the afikamen will return to complete our Passover Seder, so the sinless Messiah rose from the dead to ascend into heaven. They would break another piece of the matzah from the other half of the middle piece and distribute it to the remainder of the people at the table. And then they would share the unleavened bread during the Passover together. This time, please read under the matzah.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Next is the maror, the bitter herbs. On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables, but on Passover, we eat only maror, or bitter herbs. As sweet as our lives are today, let us remember how bitter life was for the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. There's the horseradish and the ground horseradish. Exodus 1, 12 through 14. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. As we scoop some maror onto a piece of matzah, we allow the bitter taste to cause us to shed tears of compassion for the sorrow that our ancestors knew thousands of years ago. Now let's read together for the bitter herbs.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has set us apart by his word and commanded us to eat bitter herbs.
That's strong. We dip twice. On all our other nights, we do not dip our vegetables even once, but tonight we dip them twice. We have already dipped the parsley into the salt water. The children of Israel toiled to make treasure cities for Pharaoh, working in brick and clay. We remember this task in a mixture called karoset, made from chopped apples, nuts, honey, and juice. And they would scoop some bitter herbs onto a small piece of matzah. But this time, before they ate, they would dip the herbs into this sweet karoset, the apple mixture. Let us say together, we dip
the bitter herbs into karoset to remind ourselves that even the
they would dip once and twice. Mark 14, 18 through 20. While they were reclining at the table, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, Surely not I, Lord. It is one of the 12, he replied, one who dips the bread into the bowl with me. And tonight we recline. On all other nights, we eat sitting or reclining, but tonight we eat reclining. The first Passover was celebrated by a people who were enslaved. Let us read together. The children of Israel were instructed to eat the Passover in haste, their loins girded, their staffs in their hands, their sandals on their feet, awaiting departure from the bondage of Egypt. Today we may all recline and freely enjoy the Passover Seder. As you can see, there's a cushion here. They often would recline as they were at the table upon a cushion. Jesus said, Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. The story of the Passover. The story of the Passover is a story of miracles, of a story of redemption, a story of mighty power of God to overcome evil. The Lord had promised the land of Israel to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet here they were, children, their children were in Egypt. The Pharaoh who had come later feared them, that they would come into power. These foreigners in our midst are prospering and have grown numerous, he thought. Suppose they join with our enemies and turn against us. Pharaoh decided to exert greater control over this people, imposing harsh and bitter slavery on the Israelites. Still, God blessed his people in strength and number. Pharaoh grew more frightened and ordered every baby boy child among the Israelites to be drowned in the Nile River. One Israelite couple hid the little boy for 3 months. Finally, entrusting his future to God, they set him in a basket and placed him in the river. His sister Miriam watched as he floated downstream. Coming upon the basket, Pharaoh's daughter soon took pity on the child and chose to raise him as her own son. She called him Moses, meaning drawn from the water. Moses grew and became aware of the travail of his people. One day, in a rage, he lost control of himself and killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew slave. Fleeing the palace in the eye of Pharaoh, Moses became a shepherd in the land of Midian, far from the cries of his suffering brothers. The Lord, however, saw the affliction of the children of Israel and heard their groaning. He would raise up a deliverer to lead them out of bondage. It was then that he appeared to Moses in the midst of a bush that burned with fire yet was not consumed. Moses drew close. He listened as God commissioned him to go to Pharaoh. Fearful and reluctant, Moses agreed to bring God's message to the king of Egypt. Let my people go. The cup of plagues. Moses left the wilderness to return to Pharaoh's palace, the very place where he had been raised. He returned with the message which the Lord had given him. But God himself warned Moses of the resistance he would encounter. Exodus 3, 19 and 20. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and I will strike the Egyptians with all the wonders I am performing among them. After that, he will let you go. God sent plagues one by one. Yet each plague, we see that Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Egyptians became afflicted with discomfort, disease, bane, and blight. Still, Pharaoh would not relent. With the tenth and most awful plague, God pierced through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 12:12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will bring judgment to all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. At this time, they would fill their cups the second time. A full cup is a symbol of joy. And indeed, on this occasion, we are filled with joy at God's mighty deliverance. But it also reminds us of the great cost at which redemption was purchased. Lives were sacrificed to bring about the release of God's people from the slavery in Egypt. But a far greater price was our redemption from slavery to sin, the death of Messiah. Taking the second cup, they would recount each plague, and they would dip a little finger into the cup, allowing a drop of liquid to fall from the cup, reducing the fullness of the cup of joy on that night. As they would recount the plagues together, saying, blood, frogs, gnats, flies, cattle disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the death of the firstborn. Passover lamb. Rabbi Gamaliel, the teacher of Saul, or Paul the Apostle, taught that in recounting the Passover story, one must be certain to mention three things: the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, and the Passover lamb. We have eaten the matzah to remind us of the haste with which the children of Israel fled Egypt. We have tasted the bitter herbs to remind us of the bitter slavery that they experienced there. This roasted shank bone represents the lamb whose blood marked the houses of the children of Israel, signifying their obedience to God's command. On the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The animals you shall choose shall be year-old males without defect. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month. when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Exodus 12. On that same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So we are reminded by Moses that it was the Lord himself who redeemed the children of Israel from slavery. Deuteronomy 26:8. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and miraculous signs and wonders. On that same night, God says, I will pass through Egypt. I am not an angel, and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I am not a seraph. I will bring judgment upon all the gods of Egypt. I am not a messenger. I am the Lord. Exodus 12:12. I myself and no other. Since the temple in Jerusalem no longer stands, lamb is not eaten at the Passover. And so the shank bone reminds us of the sacrificial lamb. Likewise, a roasted egg has been added to the Seder. It is called Chagiga, a name signifying the special holiday offering. The egg is regarded as a symbol of mourning, reminding us of the destruction of the second temple. It also is considered by many to denote new birth in eternal life, since the shape of the egg shows no beginning and no end. The roasted egg is then eaten later during the Seder meal. Let us read together from the Passover lamb. Dianu, it would have been sufficient. How great is God's goodness to us. For each of his acts of mercy and kindness, we declare, Dianu, it would have been sufficient. If the Lord had merely rescued us, but had not judged the Egyptians, Dianu, it would have been sufficient. If he had only destroyed their gods, but not parted the Red Sea, Dianu. If he had only drowned our enemies, but not fed us with manna, Dianu. If he had only led us through the desert, but had not given us the Sabbath, Dianu. If he had only given us the Torah, but not the land of Israel, Dianu. But the Holy One, blessed be he, provided all of these blessings for our ancestors, not only these, but many more. Read together under Dianu. It was at that time that they would drink the second cup, and then they would come together to eat the Passover meal together. We are not doing that tonight. But after the meal, they would go to the part of the service called the Afikomen. Now, remember, the Afikomen was the hidden piece of matzah. It would be brought back out after the meal. And it would be time for the people to share the afikoman, the dessert for the final food eaten at the Passover. And it was shared as the Passover lamb was shared from the time of the Exodus until the destruction of the temple. And it is said that the taste of the afikoman would linger in their mouths. At that time, in the Passover in the upper room, Jesus broke the matzah and he gave thanks to the Lord. So he would break a piece and distribute it to his disciples. Let us read together from the afikoman.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
It was then that Jesus added the words, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Luke 22:19. And they would eat the matzah, meditating on the broken body of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and allow the taste to linger in their mouths. And then the third cup, the cup of redemption. They would fill their cups for the third time in the evening. This is the cup of redemption, symbolizing the blood of the Passover lamb. It was the cup after supper with which Messiah identified himself. Exodus 6:6, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm." The prophet Isaiah reminds us, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save." Isaiah 59:1. It is our own righteousness that falls short. Though the Lord searched, he could find no one to intercede. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Isaiah 59:16. At that time of the meal, Jesus lifted the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Just as the blood of the Lamb brought salvation in Egypt, the Messiah's atoning death will bring salvation to all who believe. Let us read from the cup of redemption together.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who raised the dead.
And they would drink from the third cup together. The prophet Elijah, there is a cup set aside for the prophet Elijah. At this time of the meal, one of the children would open the door and call out to welcome Elijah to the Seder meal. Malachi 4:5, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." Now, Elijah did not see death, but he was swept up to heaven by a great whirlwind in a chariot of fire. And it has been their hope that Elijah would come back at the Passover to announce the Messiah, the Son of David. Before the birth of John the Baptist, an angel of the Lord said, "And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Luke 1:17. Later, Jesus spoke of John, saying, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come." It was the same God, the same John who saw Jesus and declared, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so at the Passover meal, they would have a place sitting for Elijah if he were to return. But I have the place sitting here on display so that we can see how this was set out. The cup of praise. They would fill their cups for the fourth and last time and give thanks to God, our great Redeemer. After each line, let us all say together, "His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day and the moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through it in the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert, give thanks to the God of heaven. At that time they would lift their cups and they would bless the name of the Lord with that fourth and final cup. And let us read together.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
The Passover Seder is now complete, just as our redemption is forever complete. And we, the traditional wish of the Jews was that they would celebrate Passover next year in Jerusalem. And we as Christians might say next year in the New Jerusalem. At this time,